Well, today I'm talking on a topic called emotion-driven life. We're studying the life of Samson, and Samson was a superhero of the Bible, a real superhero. He had supernatural strength, indestructible strength, to the point where this guy could do unbelievable things. And today I'm going to read some unbelievable things that he did, and you're going to be like, is this real or not? He's the man who was given supernatural power by God, but he has one weakness, his emotions, and he can't control them. In your life, either you control your emotions or your emotions will control you. Emotions will fight and want to be God of your life. Emotions are tricky. They will fight and want to be God of your life. If you let him, they will want to take the place of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so you got to be careful, because you can be led by your emotions or you can be led by the Spirit. And Bible says this, those who are led by emotions are not sons and daughters of God. It says those who are led by the Spirit are true sons and daughters of God. Our emotions can be deceiving. How many of you know that? How many of you have been tricked by your emotions before? I know I have. How many names have I called my loved ones because of my emotions? How many times I blew up at the love of my life because of my emotions? How many times have you done something stupid and ruined your reputation because of your emotions? Well, we can learn a lot from Samson. How many jobs have you lost because of your emotions? I'm not going to do that. They can't make me do that. I'm done. I'm out of here. That was a good job. Because of our emotions. Amen. And so today I want to talk to you how to control your emotions. And at the end of this message, I'm going to give you three ways to get your emotions to serve you and you not serving them. Amen. Because God wants you to be led by the Holy Spirit, not by your emotions. So Samson is a strong man with great potential. How many of you know people and men especially who are strong and have great potential, but they keep sabotaging themselves because they can't control their emotions? Ladies, how many of you know ladies who have great potential, but because of the emotions, you don't have respect for them because they can't control their emotions? Oftentimes you see it on Facebook, people's emotions, and they come in these memes, you know. And sometimes, like, it's too much. We know what you're going through. Hide your emotions. Control your emotions, woman or man, whatever. Amen. So today we're going to look at the chapter, one chapter of the Bible, Judges chapter 15. And we're going to look at Samson, who's the strongest man in the world, physically, indestructible, but one weakness that keeps sabotaging everything, the plan of God for his life, and that's his rage and anger and revenge, those emotions. Amen. So let's start reading chapter 15. If you want to open your Bibles or you just follow me. Later on during the wheat harvest, Samson took a young goat as a present to his wife. Now, Samson did something stupid at his wedding. Number one, he married a woman he shouldn't have married. Okay. He was a servant of God. She was a servant of demons. So there's two religions coming together. God says you can marry anybody, any race, but don't marry somebody of different religion. Now it's not a sin to marry somebody of different religion, but it's just going to cause trouble in your marriage. That's why it's better to be on one page when it comes to your faith, to your spirituality, to your spiritual life. Okay? Samson disobeys God. He goes and he says, I'm going to marry her anyway. So he marries her. None of his friends go with him to the wedding, okay? And at the wedding, he makes a bet with 30 of his best men. He gives them a riddle. They can't solve it. They carouse his wife. She goes to him. She whines and cries and asks him for a riddle. And he gives it to her. And things go bad from there. Samson leaves his wife at the last day of their wedding, on the seventh day of their wedding. Imagine somebody who leaves on the seventh day of their honeymoon. That's what Samson does. Some of you guys are like, what? Ladies are like, what a jerk. On the seventh day of honeymoon, that's just like the best part, you know? We're just getting to know one another, okay? So Samson goes home and lives with his parents, but he gets lonely, and this is where this picks up. So later on during the wheat harvest, Samson took a young goat as a present to his wife. Guys, how many of you made a big mistake or called your wife something you should enough or called your girlfriend or got into a fight and then you bought her flowers and says, hope this fixes this, honey? Well, in those days, they didn't buy flowers. In those days, they would get a goat, a baby goat. You know how cute baby goats are? Like baby lambs? It's like bringing a puppy. Who can resist the puppy? Honey, here's the puppy. But his motive is, look how romantic he is. Ladies, you'll love this. He brings a goat as a present to his wife and he says, I'm going into my wife's room to sleep with her. Is that romantic or what? No. But her father wouldn't let him. Why? I truly thought you must hate her, her father explained. So I gave her in marriage to your best man. Whoa. But look, her younger sister is even more beautiful than she is. Marry her instead. I can imagine him speaking in that accent, Middle Eastern. You know, we got a good sister. I got better one. That one is no good. This one, marry this one. She's more beautiful. Marry this one. You know, look at her younger sister. She's even more beautiful. Samson said, this time I cannot be blamed for everything I'm going to do to you Philistines. Now, you can hear some regret in those verses. He says, this time I have a reason to kick your Philistines. Last time I didn't. This time I do. What was the last time? If you weren't here, last time Samson killed 30 people, took their clothes to pay a bet off. Some of you are new to the church and you're like, what the? Some of you are just into worship. You're not into Bible really. And you're like, that's in the Bible? And this guy is a hero of faith. Yeah, he's a tragic hero, but he's still a hero. Bible is about people who are messed up. And it's not the beginning or middle that saves, it's the end. It's always the end. So it doesn't matter what you've done in your past. This is great hope. You can start over today and live with God and accomplish great things. It's end that counts, not the beginning. It's the end of the marriage that will count than the beginning. First, your last day of marriage is greater than your first day. Amen. So Samson said this time, last time I killed 30 men. Yes, that was bad. It's still hunting me. I'm sorry. But this time, I cannot be blamed for everything I'm going to do to you Philistines. Then he went out and caught 300 foxes. Okay. I can understand why atheists get really tripped up by that verse in the Bible. Because that sounds unbelievable. No, I don't care how great of a hunter you are. But catching a fox... How many of you ever caught a fox before? Maybe Tom? No? How many? One? How many? In your lifetime? Okay. How hard would it be to catch 300 foxes? It's a lot of work. Foxes? How many of you have ever seen a fox on the street ever? How many of you have never seen a fox? Raise your hand. I mean like on the street. I mean maybe I've seen one or two foxes in my lifetime. In my lifetime, I've never caught a fox. But one thing I know about fox is they're cunning type of animals. They're sneaky, yeah. And catching 300, this trips an intellectual person up. So you have two options. You can say Bible is not right because this is impossible. Or you can say I believe the Bible, I just haven't found the right explanation. Personally, I believe that faith is much greater than your intellect. Faith in let's say, faith shovel is way bigger than your intellect shovel. That's why when Jesus resurrected after 3 days, he did not show himself to everybody. Have you ever thought about that? It would have been so much easier for everybody to believe if he just showed himself to everybody, but he didn't want you to believe based on a fact. He wanted to you to activate something bigger, faith, inside of your heart. Faith is greater than your intellect. And so to understand this verse, you cannot really rely on your intellect. Sometimes, let me just prove it to you. Sometimes your intellect doesn't catch up with who you are. Sometimes you feel something and you don't know what it is. You can't explain it, but you feel it. Love, you can't really explain it, right? So there is emotions and compartments of our spirit that are bigger than what your intellect can understand. But let's just examine this. Did Samson have to catch all those foxes in one day? So he didn't have to catch them in one day. It could have been over a week or 2 weeks, right? Number two, maybe he was a great hunter. I mean, he had to be. Number three, to catch 300 foxes, he had to be a fast runner because foxes run really fast. So that makes me believe that he wasn't just strong, he was also fast. He was fast. Imagine that. And number four, I think Samson did catch the foxes. Probably not over one day, but over a week period of time or 2 weeks period of time. But how can you be angry for 2 weeks? What I believe is that Samson's strength is as equal to his anger and wrath. And that's where he does this. Now, I don't believe this act is a will of God. This is an act of being run by the flesh. You can be run by the flesh, or you can be led by the spirit. Okay? You can be moved by your flesh, and this is what's happening here. Now, but why didn't God remove the gift from him? Because Bible says gifts of God are irrevocable. Your gifts stay with you for a lifetime. And even when he was blind and his hair grew, he still had the strength, amazing strength. So let's keep going. He tied their tails together in pairs. Now, that's kind of weird. I hope he used the rope, you know. I hope he used the rope to tie the two tails. I hope he didn't just take the tails and tie the tails up. She wouldn't handle that. He tied their tails together in pairs and fastened a torch to each pair of tails. Next, then he lit the torches and let the foxes run through the grain fields of the Philistines. He burned all of their grain to the ground, including the sheaves and the uncut grain. He also destroyed their vineyards and olive groves. So anger does a lot of destruction. Your emotions that are out of control will do a lot of destruction in your life. Unchecked emotion. Who did this? The Philistines demanded. Samson was the reply, because his father-in-law from Timnah gave Samson's wife to be married to his best man. So the Philistines went and got the woman and her father and burned him to death. Your emotions affect other people. And in this case, they affected the lives of people. Samson's like, it's not my fault, though. You can make excuses or you can make progress. And Samson doesn't make progress. He makes excuse again. So look what he does next. Because you did this. So look at the cycle, right? Look at the cycle. It's called crazy cycle. It happens in marriages. You disrespected me, so I called you a name. So you disrespected me again. And it starts and goes a cycle, one thing after another. And it doesn't stop and gets bigger. Because you did this, Samson vowed, I won't rest until I take my revenge on you. So he attacked the Philistines with a great fury and killed many of them. Then he went to live in a cave in the rock of Etam. The Philistine retaliated, retaliated by setting up camp in Judah and spreading out near the town of Lehi. The men of Judah asked Philistines, why are you attacking us? So here, Philistine mobilized an army against this man. He must have done so much damage to their fields. Vineyards, olive groves, and grain fields. I mean, he really done a lot of damage to them. And so they gathered an army. And I think it's an army of 5,000 to 10,000 men. And let me show you why. Israelites are asking them, why are you attacking us? The Philistines reply, we've come to capture Samson. We've come to pay him back for what he did to us. So 3,000 men of Judah went down to get Samson at the cave of the rock of Etam. They said to Samson, "Don't you realize the Philistines rule over us? What are you doing to us?" But Samson replied, "I only did to them what they did to me." So now it takes 3,000 men to go and get Samson. So how do I know there could have been 5,000 to 10,000 men of Philistines? Because Philistines wouldn't come with an inferior army to what Israel had. Israel had 3,000 men. You don't come with 1,000 men to fight, you know, 3,000 men. And there's another lesson here. Samson was led by his emotions, not by vision. And look at this. There was 3,000 men available in Judah. Samson could have mobilized them. He could have declared war on Philistines, and he would have driven the Philistine back out of Israel. And this way, it would have been done right. Okay, you Philistines stay on your side, Israel, we're staying on our side. But Samson doesn't want to plan. Samson doesn't want to think. He's a win it type of a guy. You know, a win it type of a guy. Well, right here. It's like you only do things because you're moved by emotion. You can only come to church because you feel bad. You did something bad and you're like, I should go to church, wash away my sins. That's not how it works. That's a winner type of guy. God wants you to be a committed, vision-driven person. You should have a vision for your life, and that vision should drive you. And you shouldn't be moved by your emotions too much. Well, Samson doesn't want to plan. He doesn't want to organize those 3,000 men of Judah and probably 3,000 men of Dan. I mean, he could have built up an army, and with him in charge, nothing would be impossible, guys. If a guy can outrun a fox, if a guy could catch 300 foxes, if only he planned. If you don't plan, you will plan to fail. Right? Is that how the phrase goes? A lot of us don't like to plan. We like to live by our emotions. We like to be moved by our feelings. And I'm hoping today's lesson will stir you up to plan better, to live intentionally, not to live reactionally. A lot of people, they live by reaction. Oh, something happened. Well, I'm going to react. I react to this. I put up this fire, put out this fire. And all I'm doing, I'm not living by the vision. I'm living based on what the outside circumstances come my way. That's what Samson is doing. You can't do that. You got to change that. Amen. And so they go after Samson. "Don't you realize Philistine rule over us? What are you doing to us?" But Samson replied, "I only did to them what they did to me." But the men of Judah told him, "We have come to tie you up and hand you over to the Philistines." So they're not arresting him. They're asking him to surrender. "Please surrender. We don't want to fight you." They know what he can do. They know what he's capable of. All right, Samson says, "But promise that you won't kill me yourself. We will only tie you up and hand you over to Philistines." They reply, "We won't kill you." So they tied him up with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. As Samson arrived at Lehi, the Philistine camp came shouting in triumph. I mean, they were excited. Finally, we got 10,000 people. Finally. But the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon Samson, and he snapped the ropes on his arms as if they were burnt strands of flax, and they fell from his wrist. Then he found a jawbone of a recently killed donkey. So he found a bone, guys. And listen to this. He picked it up and killed 1,000 Philistines with it. Beast mode, yeah. Guys, I'm telling you, I can see why some people who are doubting the Bible, to them this would be like a comic book, you know. But there was no comic books in those days. This is a real story. It's in the Bible, but it's still hard to believe. With a jaw of a donkey, how much strength do you need to put into that? It's not a sword. It's not an arrow. It's not a gun that you kill 1,000 people with. You know, even with a gun, it's hard. You know, that terrorists, they try to kill as many people, and often they only kill small amount compared to that. But Samson takes one jawbone, and he attacks the Philistines, and 1,000 men die that day. What does that tell us? What does that teach us here? it teaches me that God can give you supernatural strength. God can give you supernatural strength, but it doesn't mean that he will. In Old Testament, we see this, story, and we realize that God has the power to give you the power. He can. Now, some of you are like, why doesn't he give it to us now? Right now, we live in a time of grace, where God wants you to be led by the Spirit. You know what that means? God says, I won't put unlimited power inside of you, because look what happened to Samson when I did. I won't put unlimited power inside of you. I will give you the Holy Spirit. And whenever you need power, he will be there to give you exactly what you need. If you need strength, he'll give you strength. If you need courage, he'll give you courage. If you need healing, he'll give you healing. If you need love, he'll fill you with love. But he won't give it to you 100% of the time, full time, like he did to Samson, because full power corrupted Samson. God wants you to rely on the Holy Spirit daily in your life. God wants us to wake up and say, Holy Spirit, I need you. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Use me, Holy Spirit. Move through me. Lead me, Holy Spirit. Amen. So I see the difference between Old Testament and New Testament. In Old Testament, Holy Spirit came upon certain people and dwelled on them. In a New Testament, God says, no, I'm not going to give them that much power. I'm going to give it to the body. I'm going to let them have pieces of the pie, but not the whole pie. You see what I mean? In the Old Testament, Spirit of the Lord came upon David and he did crazy things and killed a Goliath. In the New Testament, God says, I'm going to just spread it. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and whatever you need, you can have at the time that you need it to accomplish his purpose in your life. Okay? So he did that. Let's keep reading. Then Samson said, with the jaw of a donkey, I've piled them in heaps. With the jaw of a donkey, I've killed 1,000 men. When he finished his boasting, he threw away a jawbone, and the place was named Jawbone Hill. Jawbone Hill. Now Samson was now very thirsty, and he cried out to the Lord, you have accomplished this great victory by the strength of your servant. Must I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of these pagans? So you got to understand, he killed 1,000, but there's 9,000 more. They just ran back and are watching. And here Samson is on the ground, so thirsty. Have you ever been, what happens when you're thirsty, when you don't drink for a long time? You get dehydrated. When you get dehydrated, what happened to you? You get cramps. Have you ever had cramps when you were dehydrated? One time, one of our brothers in church was re-roofing his house. And he asked me to come. And when we were small, I used to go to everybody's things, you know. Can't do it anymore, thank God. But I almost killed myself. Starting a church. So I went to his house, and all day on the sun, it was like a 90 degree weather and windy. And we were roofing his house, and we weren't drinking enough. And I came home, took a shower, and as soon as I lay down on my bed, I started cramping up so bad. I felt like my calves, like there was a ball in my calves and it was going to jump out. Have you ever felt that? I felt like my fingers started, like, I look at my fingers, nothing is happening, but like I feel like they're twisting and they're going to break off themselves and I can't control them. It's the most frightening experiences I have ever had. I thought I was going to die. Doesn't it? So some preachers say this. Some preachers say, well, Samson is being emotional here. He's just being emotional. I don't think so. I think after fighting for maybe hours with a jawbone, that took so much energy, so much sweat, right? He was so dehydrated, he thought he was going to die. He was cramping up. And so he cried out, Lord, I've accomplished this great victory by your strength of your servant, but I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of these pagans. Verse 19, so God caused water to gush out of the hollow in the ground at Lehi. Another miracle. What's up? It's like wherever Samson is, he's messed up and God is still using him. And God is still answering him. Doesn't fit. This God doesn't fit into my religious mind. God is not supposed to do that, right? But look what God does. So God caused water to gush out of the hollow in the ground at Lehi. And Samson was revived as he drank. Then he named that place the spring of the one who cried out. And it is still in Lehi to this day. How many of you have read this story before? Not many of you. How many of you are glad you read this story today? Amen. Bible is interesting. He's got to read it with a little sense of humor as well. Amen. Well, I want to talk to you today about emotions, because this is the biggest problem I see in Samson, is that he cannot control his emotions. Now, are emotions bad? The answer is emotions are good. Number one, emotions are a gift from God. Even negative emotions have a place in your life. Emotions are a gift from God. Now, psychologists tell us that there's two types of emotions that you have. That you have positive emotions and you have negative emotions. They figure that you need, for every negative emotion, you need three positive emotions to live a balanced life. They say if you have more negative emotions than positive emotions in your day, you will get depressed and you will live a kind of a down life. Now, what do I mean that we have both emotions? Let me read to you some positive emotions that you have and some negative emotions that you have. Like laughter is a positive emotion. Positive emotions, think of it this way. They make you feel good about yourself, okay? So laughter, calmness, peace, trust, happiness, pleasure, joy, satisfaction, fulfillment, hope, confidence, optimism, passion, harmony, and even love. Now, some people will say love is not an emotion, and it's a debatable thing, because love is it's not a feeling so much, it's a choice, but it also has a feeling. So the psychologists are not sure if love is an emotion or a choice, so we're just going to leave love alone. Okay, but these are positive emotions that you have. Now, do you know that you have some negative emotions like grief, sorrow, depression, hatred, blame, regret, misery, resentment, anger, hate, shame, insecurity, worry, panic, frustration, jealousy, anxiety, fear? Now, you have negative emotions. And let me tell you this, you cannot get rid of negative emotions. You have to control your negative emotions. You cannot get rid of anger, because anger can be good, right? Does God get angry ever? You know that God has emotions and he gets angry at sin. He gets angry when injustice happens. He gets angry when people get abused. Bible says, be angry, but do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Well, psychologists actually now say the same thing. Don't go to bed angry. Anger is a good thing. Let's say you see an abuse happening. If that doesn't make you angry, something's wrong with you. So anger is a good emotion. Even jealousy. Did you know that God is a jealous God? Did you know that jealousy is a good thing? Could be a good thing if it's in moderation. Let's say this. Somebody is paying too much attention to my wife. I'm glad I have a little jealousy, and I probably won't show it, but I will see in a corner of my eye, and I'll be like, dude, you don't need to bring candy to my wife. Find your own woman. You don't need to bring my wife flower. You don't need to be friends with my wife. I'm her friend, you know. What made me do that? A little bit of jealousy, and it's good. Now, if jealousy becomes out of control, then it becomes a problem. So you will have positive and negative emotions. You want to live your life three times of your negative emotions. So your positive emotions have to be three times greater than your negative emotions. They did a study and they took people who were depressed and who were feeling lonely and down and kind of in a negative emotion. And they, for 7 days, allowed them to experience positive emotions. That's all it was. When that happened, their negative emotions went down and their positive emotions went up. And so you, Bible says, think upon the good things. Think upon how God thinks of you. Amen? So don't choose to think on the negative stinking thinking, but choose good things. Don't choose to think suspiciously. Don't live in fear. Bible says fear is an emotion. Live by faith. Live by love. Live by joy and peace. Live by those emotions. And actually, if you live with the Holy Spirit, these are the fruits He produces in you. These are the results of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, your emotions are a gift from God. God is an emotional God. Did you know that in the Old Testament, God complains and says this, these people, they worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. What is God saying? God say, imagine if you just said, honey, I love you, but I won't sleep with you. I won't live in the same house with you. I don't want to see you a lot. I love you, though. There's no action behind it, right? And so God says, that's how a lot of people worship me. They say, I worship you, Jesus. You're great, but I just want things from you. I don't want you. I want things from you. And God says, I don't want that kind of worship. Don't worship me like that. I want worship that's four part in Mark 12, 30. This is what God says. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. God says, I don't need just lip service. I don't need just intellectual. I don't need just physical. I need emotional too. Now, in the Bible, we don't see a word emotion because that's more of a new word. In the Bible, we see three words that mean the same thing. It's this. It's passion, affections, and heart. And heart. Love with your heart. Amen. So God wants to be worshipped with emotions. So some of you are like, I don't come for praise and worship part of the service. I just come for preaching because I just sit there and I feed my mind. And God says, I don't want just to feed your mind. I want to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. I want to be worshipped with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I don't want to raise my hands and worship. I feel stupid. But then when your favorite team is winning, you go, you can't help it. I'm not going to go there. Football season is over. Amen. There are two extremes to avoid when it comes to your emotions. If you're writing this down, you must avoid emotionalism and stoicism. Emotionalism is you live and make decision based on how you feel. That's emotionalism. Our culture has a phrase, follow your heart. And Bible says heart is deceitful. So Bible says be careful. When somebody says follow your heart, you followed your heart before and heart deceived you before. So maybe be careful when you're following your heart. Use your intellect as well. Don't just use your emotions. It's saying follow your emotions or follow your feelings. That's not right. And there's another type of people. There's stoicism, meaning feelings are not needed. All you need is intellect, logic, knowledge, and willpower. That's all you need. And usually, emotionalist marries stoic. Usually an emotional person marries a person who just has no feelings. You're like, what's wrong with you? The emotional person says, why can't you feel? And the stoic person says, would you just leave me alone for one day? Can we not have drama, please? I am sick and tired of drama, please. And I think God is sitting in heaven and just like, I'm going to make you holy. If you stick it out, I'm going to make you holy. We see church denominations that are built on these two factors. We see churches who are into emotionalism, and we see churches who are into stoicism. And how do you tell? Some churches, they're like, Pastor, we're all about the Bible here. We don't do emotions. No, we just intellect. We're studying the word, brother. And you're like, wow, okay. So I can't clap. I can't even raise my hand or I'll feel weird, right? And there are some churches that are built on all emotion. It's all emotion. They just dance and service goes forever, running. And that's cool if you do it for a while. But if there's no word spoken, I've been to church where it's all worship, worship, worship. And there's like, oh, I had a great word for you guys, but we don't have any time. So let me just read a scripture and let you go. And you have people who love to experience God, but they don't know God. And then they read something like 300 foxes. And they're like, I don't believe that. Or then they read something like 1,000 men killed with a bone. Oh, I can't believe that. And then they read like God created the earth in 7 days. Oh, I'm done. I guess I'm not a biblical believer. I'm a more spiritual person. I'm one of those spiritual persons. Am I talking to somebody? Or you know somebody? And so you can't be emotionalist or stoic. You got to find a balance, and the best way is to be led not by your emotions or by your non-emotions, but by the Spirit. By the Spirit. God gave you your emotions. God has emotions. It's how you use them and what motive you use them with. Are you using your emotions for selfish reasons? Are you using your emotions to be loving and blessing to other people? Amen? Amen. Now, there are three types of emotion. And I kind of created this myself. And there are positive emotions, there's negative emotions, and there's destructive emotions. Okay? Now, positive emotions change your life. Destructive emotions sabotage your life. What is a destructive emotion? Destructive emotion is when a negative emotion is out of control. Nothing wrong with a negative emotion. But when it gets out of your control and becomes God and begins to lead your life, then it becomes a problem. You get in an argument with your spouse and you can't control your hands. And this happens to men and women. It's not just men, it's also women. I've heard of stories where women take knives and try to puncture the lungs of their loved one because they can't control. Guys obviously have been known for that. And so that's a destructive emotion. That's what Samson does when he got this great strength, but it's not under control. It's not under control. And humility is strength under control. So if Samson is moved by pride, arrogance, and at unlimited power, he's out of control. That's why God won't give you all the power all the time. He'll give you the Holy Spirit who will lead, who will walk with you every day of your life and give you what you need at the time you need it. Amen. And listen to me, Satan loves to play in a swamp of your emotions. You know the favorite place of Satan is in the swamp of your emotions. Emotions like a slough, like a soup, like a swamp. It's like huge. It's so big. And Satan loves to play there, stir things up. And if he can find an emotion that he can control you with, oh, he got you. I have a picture. Do we have a picture of that chain guy? Yeah, that's what happens. He chains you to your emotions and then he leads you like a horse. That's what Satan likes to do. What a great art piece right there. Thank you, Doug. Doug is amazing. He's on fire today. Man, thank you, Doug. Now, point number three. Living by negative emotions leads to a life of many regrets. We see this from Samson. But it also applies to my life. In my personal life, how many regrets do I have because I was moved by negative, by destructive emotions, by anger? How many, honey, how many names did I call you? Some of you are like, you, Pastor? Yeah. Because when you're emotional, when you can't control your emotion, you can't control what comes out. You can't control the destruction you can create. When you can't control your emotion, you can't control the destruction that emotion can create. Burn the livelihood of Philistines. All of vineyards. I mean, that's years. You know how long it takes to build up a vineyard? You know how long it takes to grow an olive tree? He burned them up. For years he caused the destruction. God didn't want to do that, but he was out of control. And a lot of times when you are moved by your emotion, you're out of control. And then you regret it. So you bring a goat or a puppy. Please forgive me. But some things you can't undo. How many times did you been hurt by people who were out of control. And then they're like, I'm sorry. They bring you candy and flowers and they buy you things and emotions. How many evil words you spoke to your mom, dad, spouse, your kids because of your negative, destructive emotions? Ladies or guys, how many pounds have you gained because you were moved by your feelings? How many pounds did you gain because you were moved by your feelings? How much money did you spend because you were feeling lonely or depressed? So you took a credit card and went shopping to make yourself feel better. And then the bill came and you were more depressed. How many days, hours, months, years you have wasted because you thought of revenge? You argued with people in your head. Have you ever argued with people in your head for hours, for days? How many days did you waste because you couldn't control your emotions? Emotions could be an idol if they're not controlled. Emotions want to be God. Emotions are a thing that Satan wants to use to control you. But God says you control. You build walls around your emotions and you tell them when they can come out and when they can't. You are in charge. Some of you are like, I'm Italian, I can't control it. I'm Irish, I can't control it. I'm Russian, I'm Ukrainian, I can't control that. And you know what? Maybe you're right, but when you have Holy Spirit, He will help you and guide you. So you have no excuse. How many friends and good people you alienated out of your life because you couldn't control your emotions? As a pastor, I learned early on in my ministry, I learned this 3-day rule. And you know, sometimes people write you something negative or meet you in a lobby and just tell you something. That wasn't, or something like that. And you know what? You get so hot and you want to just strike back. If you want to come to this church, you better line up with them. And you know what? I'm so glad because we would have lost so many people if I didn't learn to control my emotions. But I have this 3-day rule. I wait 3 days before I confront or deal with this. And if in 3 days I still feel like I should confront this issue, then I will. But oftentimes in 3 days my emotions lose power. And then I realize, wow, this person is hurting. Something is going on with their family. Something is going on with their marriage. Something is going on with their children. Something is going on with their job. Something is going on with their battle that they're fighting. Something is happening with them. And Bible says, tolerate one another. You know, don't pick on one another. Tolerate one another. And so you're like, fine, I'll just maybe deal with it next time. If it keeps recurring, then I'll deal with it. But, you know, I'll just try to be understanding. Bible says, be understanding with one another. Amen. And this rule has saved me from so much trouble because I wait 3 days. But I don't always. It's like once a year I slip. Once a year I slip. It's like I hold. And you'll see Samson held for 20 years and then he slipped next week. But anyway, and so you just like slip and then you realize, oh, that rule is good. That rule is there for a reason. Is Holy Spirit speaking to you right now? I rebuke the devil that's trying to make you resist this message. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a person or persons here. I just saw it. The devil doesn't allow you to hear. He's telling you something else while I'm preaching. And I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Bible says, be careful how you hear. Don't allow Satan to get in there and mess with things. Amen. Hallelujah. You can't always trust your feelings and emotions. Bible says this, 2 Corinthians 5:17. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by our feelings. We choose to believe what God says about us, not what we feel about us. Do you know that we have 3 images of ourselves, about ourselves? We have a winner image. And when we win, we feel like I'm a winner. And we see everything through that image, through those glasses of winning. And we have a loser image. Oh, I'm such a loser. I'm not worthy. I have so many insecurities. Nobody likes me, right? And then there's a 3rd image. And that's the image that God has about you. That image is wrong, and that image is wrong. The winner image is wrong, and the loser image is wrong. Because they're not real. You're not a loser, and you're not necessarily always a winner. You are what God says you are. And so you need to find out who God says you are and stick to that, and that's your image. So we walk by faith, meaning what God says about us, not by our image of ourselves, not by the image of people of ourselves. We walk by what God says we are, and God says we're loved as much as He loves Jesus. God says we're perfect in His sight. He gave us the bodies that we need. Amen. And we're going to love ourselves so we can love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen. Hallelujah. God says this in the Bible. Those who are led by the Spirit are true sons and daughters of God. Those who are led by flesh, by their emotions, and then it lists all those negative emotions, are not true sons and daughters of God. Because when you walk with the Holy Spirit, He will produce in you love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Fruits of the Spirit. If you're saying you're walking with the Spirit and He's producing all these things in you, and you are able to control your anger. And I remember I prayed to God for years. I said, God, help me with my anger issue. I would just get, you know, I would work all day and all that energy would, you know, problems and stress would gather inside my heart. And as soon as I would come home, I would find a reason to argue with my wife and I would explode. And I would explode. I'm serious. That was me in the beginning of our marriage. I didn't know how to control my anger. And I prayed. I said, God, I can't do this. And God says in Ephesians, He gave me a verse. And I want to give you that verse. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. Be put away. In another translation, it says, put away these things. And God says, I'm not going to get rid of your anger. I want you to put it away. Put it on a shelf, and when you need it, bring it out. And when you don't need it, put it back and live out of your positive emotion, not of your negative emotions. And in verse 32, watch this. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Amen. Oh, two more minutes. How do I deal with my negative emotion? Number one, identify destructive emotion in your life. Identify it. What is the emotion that causes the most destruction in your life? After I conquered the anger issue, I've been feeling a lot of fear. A lot of fear. And it would manifest in the weirdest things. Not like fear of demons or anything. I've conquered that. But fear in my life. And so God had to show me a verse in the Bible and said that He has commanded His angels to watch over you. He has commanded His angels. And so I live by that word. God has commanded angels, and they can't fail. They can't fail to protect. Because sometimes you feel like, God, you've blessed me, but the fear is always, what if you're going to take it away? What if I do something stupid and mess it up? I have a great family, but what if I, you know, I'm just a man. What if I mess it up? And that fear constantly, and I'm just been fighting that negative emotion, and that would destroy your days. We'll take good days and make them negative days. And I'm like, I don't want this. So identify, what is your emotion? What is your emotion? Number two, confront it. Say to your emotion, you will not be in control of my life. I will be in control of you. You will not be God of my life. I will be in control of you. I will be led by the Spirit, not by the emotion. You confront it. And number three, you put it away or you channel it. I already said how you can put it away, put it on a shelf, control it, or channel it. Rick Warren talks about, how many of you know Rick Warren? He's one of the biggest, he's got one of the biggest churches in America, in California, and all over the world. And he had a son in the last 2 years who committed suicide. And Rick Warren said that made him cry every day for months. It was a shock. But Matthew, his son, struggled with psychological issues, depression and all kinds of things. And they tried helping him. I mean, Rick Warren is one of the guys who started Celebrate Recovery. I mean, they've helped tons of people, but they could not help Matthew. And he said he cried. And he said he couldn't get rid of the emotion. And so he decided to channel it. So he said, if I can't get rid of this emotion, I'm going to do everything possible that through this emotion will drive me to help more people who are fighting with mental issues. He started conferences, how to battle mental issues in the church, how to help people with mental issues. And he said, I'm using my emotion to drive something and create something good for other people, to save lives. So if you can't control your emotion, you got to channel it into something good. Amen? Amen. Did you guys enjoy this message? Well, we're going to have baptism time. But before we do, I believe many of you will be baptized today. Some of you don't even know it. Okay? If you can bring me the bucket. Some of you are like, I'm not going to get baptized today because I don't have any clothes to wear. Well, we got you covered. We have t-shirts. We have shorts. We have all kinds of hairsprays. We have these things you tie your hair with. We have shorts, we have underwear, we have sports bras, we have everything. Okay? Now, why should you be baptized? Because the second step after you believe, Bible says, is to be baptized. So, in the last couple of months, you raised your hand, you said, Father, I believe in you. The next step, God wants you to be baptized. Maybe you believe today. Maybe today you made a decision, that's it, I'm going to follow Christ. He's going to be my Lord and Savior. Then you need to be baptized. When Jesus would preach, his disciples would baptize. Baptism is an outward expression of inner confession. Baptism is an outward expression of inner confession. Now, we don't know that you are a believer. We don't know if you made a decision to follow Christ or not. But when you get baptized, then everybody knows. And you say to the world, I don't care who knows. I'm going to follow Christ. I don't care if nobody else follows him. I will follow him. So today I want to ask you, what is the next step that God wants you to make? And if that's baptism, then we have the water. It's getting warm as we speak. Okay? We have clothes for you to wear. Pastor Tanya, come stand here because they're going to follow you to change. My beautiful wife right here, sitting there supporting me. I feel so much better when she's there. She was teaching kids and then she came back. Thank you for that. So what is stopping you from being baptized? Sometimes we ask God, when are you going to ask me to do something big for you? And God says, you know what? I'm going to ask you to do something really small. And if I can trust you with the small, then I can trust you with big. Peter was fishing all night. He couldn't catch anything. And Jesus, who Peter didn't know yet, comes up and says, throw your nets to the other side of the boat. Peter says, we were fishing all night. That's my daughter too. Come here, sweetie. Hold my hand. Peter says, we were catching all night. Nothing is in this water. Jesus says, just throw the nets again. And when Peter throws the net, small step of obedience. Okay, you can go with her. I did it myself. Small step of obedience. David, the same thing, a shepherd boy. Father says to him, go bring some food to the brothers who are fighting war with Philistines. David could have said, nah. But he listens. Small step of obedience. He goes to the battlefield, brings food to his brothers. Here's Goliath yelling, cursing his people. Something arises in David and he says, I will fight the Goliath. If he didn't obey his father, small step, he would have never been at that place and he would never be the hero that he became. God can do something with a small step, even bigger than you can do with your big step. So today I want to ask you, if you're going to be baptized today, I want you to stand up right now. Please stand. Come on, clap your hands. Is there more? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor Tanya, go ahead, walk towards, go ahead and follow Pastor Tanya. She will show you where to change. She will give you the bags of clothing that you need. Follow her. If there's anybody else who would like to be baptized, just follow them right now. Amen. Amen. This is what we're going to do. We're going to pray right now. And after prayer, you can go in the lobby, get some food, and then come back if you want to. If you need to go, I understand, you can go. But if you could stay and celebrate baptisms as we baptize our amazing young people and helping them celebrate their next step with God. Amen? Amen. Now I want you all to close your eyes and bow your head. I want to ask you this. Do you know Jesus? Is He the Lord of your life? I don't want to finish a service without giving you an opportunity to respond. I'm going to count to three. And if you would like to give your life to Jesus, raise your hand and raise it high on a count of three. Did you know that God loves you? There's a reason why you are here. He wanted you to hear that He loved you and He gave His Son for you. And if all you need to do is believe, and you will have everlasting life, and you will have relationship with Him. Maybe you've been a Christian before, you were a follower of Christ, but then you kind of walked away and backslid a little bit. I want to give you an opportunity to come back and give your life to Jesus. Or maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. On a count of three, would you please raise your hand? God loves you. Jesus died for you. He paid for your sins. All you have to do is believe. So on a count of three, ready? One, two, three, please raise your hand. One hand, two hands, three hands, four hands. Come on, clap your hands. Five hands, thank you. Is there one more? Amen, five people. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Repeat it to me. Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Thank you for dying on a cross to pay for my sins. From this moment on, all my sins are forgiven. You are my Lord and Savior, and I have new life. By faith, in Jesus' name, I'm saved, I'm forgiven, and I'm a child of God. Amen. Clap your hands and bless God.